Turn your Bibles to Psalm 100, a small psalm, but packed with powerful truths for us and to direct our attention to praise of our great God. Psalm 100. It is called a Psalm of Thanksgiving, the only one that's given that title, and this is very appropriate for this time of year before Thanksgiving. Follow along as I read. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would guide us in our thinking this morning. May we be drawn to a greater appreciation for who you are and for what you've done. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is an exhortation to worship. If you need some Bibles, Tom will be glad to give you one. Thank you, Tom. The whole psalm speaks of our joyful response to our God and what he has done and who he is. True thanksgiving and praise begins with God, the giver of life and all that is good. And we're going to look at this passage here, and I'd like to kind of give you, if you've got an outline, I encourage you to take it out, borrow a pen, steal a pen, whatever you can get, wherever you can get a pen, and follow along as we work our way down through this particular psalm. If you can imagine it maybe being a chant or a song that really teaches us and directs us as it relates to God and his person, and it really calls attention to our praise. And so look at it this way. It's kind of like a four-verse song, all right? And the first verse, not meaning the verse in the scripture, but the first verse of the song would be verses 1 and 2, and it's a call to worship, or a call to celebrate God. Verse 2, or in the song, it gives reasons why we should celebrate, and that's found in verse 3 in the scriptures. Verse 3 of the song would be a call to worship again, so you see a repetition there, a celebration or exaltation. And found in verse 4 of the scriptures. And then the song, verse 4, would be reasons why we should worship again. Information found from verse 5. So here we have this kind of the call to worship, verses 1 and 2 and verse 3. And then we have this, we're given reasons why we should worship, this information, this education about God, in order that our celebration and our worship and our thanksgiving would be appropriate as it relates to our God. So, first of all, I'd like for you to look initially at verses 1 and 2, the call to worship the first time. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. There are three things that draw our attention to this call to worship. Shout, serve, and come. Shout. In the text, it says, joyful noise. My dad always said that to me. He says, I can make a joyful noise anytime. I said, singing is the difficult part. But here it's the idea of shout to the Lord. It's almost as if they're making their way to the temple, and there's a procession of individuals headed to the temple, and they're there starting off, said, let's shout to the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. Make a joyful noise to him. That was very common back in the times of Bible times. When their king would appear, they would shout joyfully unto him, showing of their support and encouragement. And here, really, he's saying the whole world, all lands ought to be shouting for all that he has done for us. But shout to the Lord. That's a little bit hard, maybe, in our worship services for today. I had to know how to do that. Maybe you could do it in your cars on the way here in the mornings. But shouting to the Lord. We get excited about everything else. We get excited about college basketball and college football and the NFL and the NHL and on it goes about sports. But we ought to be a people who are glorifying our God, a call to worship here and get excited about him. The second phrase there is serve the Lord. I think it's the idea of worship the Lord would be a very good translation. Worship the Lord. The idea maybe here is service in the public worship, that we ought to serve the Lord or worship the Lord. We ought to come to worship him. And then the third thing is come into his presence. Come near unto him with your singing. I think it's interesting here. It's almost as if there's a progression of nearness. You shout from afar as you're approaching your great God and you're worshiping. You come in your worship and your service for him, and then you come near to him in his presence. And obviously, again, this is reminding us of the temple back in the Old Testament times, or in the, you know, at the beginning of as Christ in Christ's time, where they would come from their faraway places and they would come and they would go through the gates and enter the courtyards, and they would come closer to the place where the Lord dwelled in the Holy of Holies. And so they were here. It's a call for our worship. With all of these things put together, it's like the psalmist is calling his people to raise an anthem of praise from our hearts to our great God. It's a public expression of our support of God. I've often had new believers that will talk to me a little bit about coming to our worship service. And afterwards they'll say, why do you sing so much? I mean, why don't you just get into the heart of preaching or teaching? But really, it's really all throughout Scripture you find a natural response, a natural call to worship. Part of that is singing. And we see the mood here is that of joyfully singing with gladness, with singing, joyfulness, gladness, singing. That ought to be characteristic of our worship. And I'm so glad that as we have wonderful individuals up here leading us in worship, and Pastor Jonathan and Emily doing a great job of drawing our attention to our great God, I'm thankful that that is characteristic of our worship, joyfully, gladness, and singing. But why should we do that? I think that that's the natural progression. Why should we be singing with gladness? Well, we see a few reasons here before us in verse 3. The second verse of the song gives us some reasons. Know, here's the information that we need, know that the Lord, he is God. And it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The first thing we need to know is that the Lord is God. And the idea is the Lord, he is God. The Lord alone is God. This Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, he is the one who is in charge. He is alive, and he's worthy of our praise. Second, the Lord made us for himself. The Lord made us. We didn't make ourselves. We are dependent upon our God for our very existence. He made us, and he sustains us, and he cares for us. Third, we belong to him. We belong to him. We are his people, and we are his sheep under the good guidance of a shepherd's care. So not only has God created us, but we are made his own. We are his. And this morning, I know that there's some various things that are going on in your life. There are crises that are affecting the lives of our people here. But no matter what crisis you are facing this morning, we can rejoice and should rejoice that we are known as his. We belong to him. One of the terms that reminds us of the fact that we belong to him is he redeemed us. Redemption. And I love that term. There are three terms in the New Testament that remind us that we are redeemed. We belong to him. One of them has the idea of we're bought out of the slave market of sin. We are purchased right out of the slave block, off the slave block. And that is what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. There's another term that talks about the fact that he took us off the market. Jesus paid the price and we're no longer up for sale. He bought us and he intends to keep us. And then there's another term that brings out this redemption aspect. It says, now we're released after the payment of the purchase price. It pictures one who was bought as a slave and then turned loose to go on their own. This is what Jesus has done for us. He bought us off the slave block of sin. And after he redeemed us, he removed us from the sale and then set us free, not to go out on our own, but we're free now to serve him with our all. Thank God we are his people. That is a special designation. His people and the sheep of his pasture. I love the terminology of the shepherd. It reminds us of his care, his protection, and his provision. So we have a call to worship, and we're given reasons. Now we go to verse 3. There's another call to worship. It says this in verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." We don't have too many gates or courts around here. But back in that time again, as you entered and got closer to the temple, you entered into the courtyards through gates. And that's basically what it's talking about here. Come into his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. And so here we have three, again, calls to worship. Enter his gates and courts, give thanks, and bless his name, all drawing our attention to our great God. The Hebrew word there that's used of bless his name, it can mean to provide for needs, but I believe here it's talking about to kneel in adoration. That's our response to our great God, to kneel in adoration in light of all that he has done. So here not only, there's a progression of intimacy. We see not only do you enter his gates and courts kind of away from his presence, but then you draw near and you know your God by name. There's an intimacy there as we draw near to him. And the mood is with thanksgiving and praise. And this is, again, a very appropriate psalm for us as we enter this season. So the call of worship, we're given reasons why. Again, another call to worship and give thanks with praise. And now we're given further reasons why in verse 5. For the Lord is good. Why should we come into his presence with thanksgiving? Why should we come in celebration of our great God? For he is good. For he has steadfast love and because of his faithfulness. Folks, when you look at the goodness of God, you can't help but praise him. You can't help but shout for joy. Everything that God does is for the grid of one who is good. In fact, James 1:17 says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above." The idea is that the way he gives and what he gives is good. He is good in his very nature, and nothing that he does is bad. Oftentimes we have to look through that. Sometimes when he allows things to come our way, we have to look from his perspective. It may not be fun, we may not like it, but yet it is for our good. I love the statement, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And you think about all the things that God has done in your life and mine, family, and friends, and good health, and grades, good job, and so forth. We have every reason to praise him for his goodness. Matthew 7:11 says this, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" But as you can imagine, Satan is always there reminding us or trying to us to think that God or question God's goodness. Remember in the garden? As the Lord gave commands, and as the Lord said, you can have anything from the garden that you want, but don't take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, Satan questioned God's goodness and came to him and said, "Oh, God is not good. If he were good, he would allow you to take from anything, any tree." And so we need to be careful that we don't allow Satan to tempt us to question the goodness of our God. Hear the text before us, it's very clear that the Lord, he is good. We have every reason to praise him because of his steadfast love. His steadfast love is forever, verse 5 says. And then we need to praise him for his faithfulness. His faithfulness is to all generations. God was faithful to my dad during his generation. He's faithful to me during my generation. And I can encourage my boys as they go on and as they establish their homes that God will be faithful to them as well. He is faithful. And so I can't help but think this morning we have every reason to praise Him. We have 10,000 reasons to praise Him, and we're going to close our service today with that song. We come to exalt our great God, not to please ourselves. We come joyfully, gladly, with singing, with thanksgiving, with praise. And the more we learn of the greatness of our God, we have all the more reason to testify of His character and of His works.